What did you get from today's podcast? I mean, besides the best Trump coverage of all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his actual attorney.
Yeah.
And then Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. You'll understand this case 6 ways to Sunday.
Yeah. Also, I feel like you have a stance on whether kids should be served up porn in schools. And I think...
You caught that from today's show?
Yeah. I think... My take on your commentary was that you're on the fence. You're not sure whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And you're considering all options. But
all options.
Who knows which way you could land. But you're right there making a decision.
Yeah, kind of a call to action.
Yeah.
Because something that happened in a red state that will blow your mind. Unfortunately, it'll blow your mind. It shouldn't. If you think you're safe in a red state, you're absolutely not. And you gotta start standing for the people who are standing up for our children, because the teachers' union is doing it with money. And these money-grubbing Republicans take it, and they sell your child down the river. I'm sorry. Do I sound too opinionated?
I can't tell which way you're
okay.
going on it.
Today's podcast, you don't want to miss a second of it. Brought to you by Jace Medical. Recently, we shot down the Chinese spy balloon. It mean a lot of things, but what it really means is our relationship with China isn't getting cozier. Today, I'll give you the news of what China did yesterday to devalue our dollar yet again. Things are not good, and we rely on China for critical antibiotics. 72% of our active pharmaceutical ingredients are coming from other countries in China. Why are we not making our medicines here? Why are we? There is a solution on this one. I want you to call Jace Medical. I want you to go right now to jacemedical.com. Enter the promo code Beck at checkout. You're going to discount on your order. And what your order is, you're ordering 5 different courses of antibiotics that you can use to treat a long list of bacterial illnesses. Get this before you can't get antibiotics, God forbid, because we have a shortage. By the way, we took care of the baby shortage. Not. Now the baby food shortage, it's back. Can't get it. Perfect. JaceMedical.com/Beck. JaceMedical.com. Make sure you enter the promo code at checkout and you'll get a discount on the order. Here's a podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Donald Trump's campaign fundraising is breaking records thanks to a lavish fundraiser hosted by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg and the Democratic Party. This according to the Babylon Bee. Sources say that as Trump arrived at the New York courthouse for a fundraiser yesterday morning, his campaign raised millions of dollars from energized citizens eager to support the only presidential candidate indicted by a Soros-funded DA. Quote, at this point, if someone hasn't been indicted by a corrupt Soros DA, can you even trust that person? Said local Trump voter. Experts say Trump's indictment will firm up his base of supporters who believe the country is run by corrupt, out-of-touch bureaucrats who also happen to be satanic pedophiles, and alienate him with kooky conspiracy theorists who think that America's leaders can be trusted. At publishing time, it had been revealed that half of the donations to the Trump campaign came from Democratic activists who are desperately hoping he runs again. You know, we are defined now by our enemies. This is a time where wear it as a badge of honor. Oh, the school board hates you. Oh, the school librarian thinks that you're a Nazi. Oh, boy. Congratulations. Congratulations. Oh, the New York DA hates you. By pointing that out, you've been called an anti-Semite. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Ooh. Sincerely.
There's something to that. I mean, I know Babylon Bee is a satire site, but like,
no, it's...
you kind of like, if a Soros-funded DA came out and said, you know what, we looked at Ron DeSantis and totally clean as a whistle, go ahead, feel confident voting for him, I'd be very nervous.
I'd be very nervous. Very. I'd be like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
He's in bed. All right. Let me tell you what happened yesterday, and I'm going to use it by substituting Stu for Donald Trump. Here's what happened yesterday in court. In the attempt to cover up a crime, Stu committed a crime. In the attempt of covering up a crime, Stu committed a crime. In the attempt to cover up a crime, Stu committed a crime. Now, also, I'd like to say that in the attempt to cover up a crime, Stu committed a crime. But I'm not done. In the attempt to cover up a crime, Stu committed a crime.
Wait, but what crime was I trying to cover?
Great question, Stu!
Thank you.
I wasn't even done. I have 35 of those charges,
okay?
And they're all very different. Let me just skip to 28. In the attempt to cover up a crime, Stu committed a crime.
Wait, what crime, though?
Yeah, okay, that's exactly what I would expect somebody who hates George Soros to say. Okay? That's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't even tell us what the crime was.
He didn't tell us what is the crime?
He only told us what crime he supposedly committed when he was covering up the crime that he would not tell us what it was.
Correct.
Which is amazing.
We would like to define the crime, please. Could you define the crime? Now, some people say it's a campaign finance crime. Well, is it? Because the FEC turned it down. The feds turned it down. Even the corrupt Justice Department turned this down. But you picked it up, and that's a federal crime. Unless, somehow or another, in Alvin Bragg's head, well, states... You got to go to the Constitution for this one. So I know this definitely did not happen. States are in charge of the vote and the election. So states should be the one. Really?
It's still a federal crime, though.
Still a federal crime.
So that would not make any sense. They know they have nothing on that.
Well, it's a tax crime.
The tax crime
about
is my favorite.
Yeah, tax crime. How is it a tax crime? Wait a minute. I've heard you should pay your fair share.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even heard it's patriotic to pay your fair share.
And we've heard for years and years that Donald Trump will not pay his fair share.
He will not
pay his taxes, this guy.
So this is apparently the tax crime. He paid more taxes by paying Cohen all of the quote bribe, which wasn't bribe. He paid that as income back to him. So he actually paid more taxes.
Right.
Than he should have.
This guy that they've been begging for him to release his tax records for the entire time he's been in the public eye, just so they could prove that he does not pay his taxes, have now tried to put him in prison for paying too much taxes. That is legitimately what happened.
Yeah, but
yesterday.
it was the payment of those extra taxes that was the attempt to cover up the crime.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to say. And if you don't know this what happened in this situation. Cohen paid $130,000 to good old Stormy. And then
who hasn't?
Who hasn't?
Sincerely.
Look, she's expensive, apparently.
Right.
And so then to reimburse Cohen, instead of giving him $130,000, which would have been a reimbursement for an expenditure, but would have had to been, you know, their accusation is it would have had to been, you know, recorded in a certain way that may give away that they paid off a porn star. So instead, what they did is they paid him a salary of, I think it was around $400,000. Mm-hmm. And the thought there was you give him basically double the money so he can pay taxes and still maintain the amount he gave to Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want to give him the exact amount. They gave him more than that. And they gave him a bonus on top of that, I think of $60,000 just for, I guess, good tidings. So that's basically what they're saying is that because he was actually not giving him a payment for work done, instead they were just repaying him for the expenditure that they shouldn't have overpaid him, because that meant too many dollars went to taxes.
Right.
That is legitimately what they are trying to get him
right
on. Too he many
paid
dollars.
Too much in taxes.
I mean, this is... I didn't think there would be anything here. We said it before.
Right. No,
but
this
we
is
said,
less than we thought.
We said over and over again, we haven't actually seen the indictment. We haven't seen the charges, and we hold out. You know, maybe they have something that we have
to at
least
see. Well, they do. In the attempt to cover up a crime, Trump committed a crime.
But no, he didn't. Right? Like, and not to mention, it's past the statute of limitations.
Let me explain it more clearly for you.
Yes.
In the attempt to cover up a crime, which we don't know about, he paid too many taxes. Okay? Now how do you feel, America? Yeah. Now how do you feel? Now, for those of you who might think, well, this is a Soros DA, and are we going to be able to get justice? I just want you to know the judicial system is fair and honorable and honest. Let me tell you a little bit about the judge. Now, you might have heard Donald Trump say, well, this judge is against me. And you're like, okay, what? He didn't vote for you. Is that how he's against you? No. According to the FEC, you know, the people, the Federal Elections Commission, the ones who decided not to prosecute Donald Trump because they didn't find a crime, the judge donated 3 times to Act Blue in the summer of 2020. Now, if you don't know what Act Blue is, congratulations, you're not part of the Alliance for the Dark Lords and the Siths. Okay? Act Blue is the funder or the mechanism that all of the laundered money goes through, you know, for progressive things. So he has donated 3 times to Act Blue in the summer of 2020, once on July 26, when the judge's donation, according to the FEC, was earmarked for President Joe Biden's 2020 presidential campaign. The other 2 contributions were pledged to the Progressive Turnout Project. This is a left-wing PAC that rallies voter turnout for Democratic candidates. And Stop Republicans. Now, that doesn't sound partisan at all. So he's funding, quote, Stop Republicans, which their whole thing is dedicated, quote, to resisting Trump and the Republican Party. But it doesn't stop there. No. His daughter, Lauren, previously worked for Kamala Harris. Now, she was part of the failed 2020 presidential campaign, so I don't know if we say she's just a partisan hack or just stupid. I mean, who worked on that campaign? She is now the president of a consulting company that proudly lists the Biden-Harris campaign as its client.
It's just...
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you can't make it up.
You can't make this up. You can't make this up. So she went to SUNY, the college, the crazy liberal Cloward and Piven College in New York. She has now deleted her LinkedIn page, which listed her pronouns, confirmed she graduated from SUNY in 2011. And the account also showed in 2019, she worked as the director of digital persuasion for Kamala Harris for the people. Digital persuasion. Wow. What a euphemism. That sounds like propaganda or brainwashing. Currently, she serves as president of Authentic Campaigns, a consulting digital advertising. Now, you go from digital persuasion to Authentic Campaigns. Oh, yeah, there's no psychosis there. There's no split personality there unless they're doing exactly the same thing. This is an online fundraising agency that's raised $250 million for progressive campaigns. Could I just ask, do we have any things like this that I've never heard of? You know, I've never heard of Authentic Campaigns before, and they've raised $250 million. Do we have anything like that? Like, do we have, like, you know, John Adams for sticking it up their butt? Do we have that pact or anything that's raising?
.com, yes. John Adams, okay. For sticking it up their butt, okay. .com. Mm-hmm.
They raised $250. A video of smiling Harris being greeted by a crowd of supporters is the autoplay on the site's landing page. Also, Biden-Harris campaign logo is at the top of its client roster. Authentic Campaigns have won a collection of accolades, mostly for its work on the Harris campaign, while Lauren was awarded the coveted 2020 Rising Star title, considered one of the most prestigious honors in the campaign world. Whoa. The president of Authentic Campaigns is Lauren Merchan. Wow. That's the daughter of the judge. In a pair of Truth Social posts, Trump said, yeah, he's a highly partisan judge that hates him. I don't think that goes far enough, Don. I don't think that goes far enough. This is clearly a partisan political move, and the judge is bought and paid for. I don't know how you don't get at least him to recuse himself or a change of venue, but I don't think you will. Now, here's the extra super special part. Alvin, you know him, one of the chipmunks, also now running the New York DA. Alvin said, I'm just thinking, there's a parody song in there someplace with all the crime going on and somebody just going, Alvin! Anyway, Alvin is making sure that all this is on the up and up. And so the next time the court will meet on this subject is January of 24. Now, they're telling him early because, you know, the Iowa caucus is happening in January of 24. If this isn't so obvious of what's going on, they clearly want Donald Trump to be the candidate. They clearly want him to be the candidate. They also clearly don't want him to be the candidate. This is why I always say, you know, don't play these little games. Don't play these little games. Just do the next right thing. Because the last time they played this little game and they were like, we'll outsmart them. We'll show America how stupid he is. We'll put Trump in wall-to-wall coverage. Didn't work out as you thought it would. I have a feeling this might not work out the way you think it will either. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. Let me tell you, last hour in the podcast, I gave you this guy's credentials. He is, just to save time, one of the most respected high-stakes trial attorneys in America. Joe Tacopina, and he joins us now. Joe, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Glenn. I'll tell you off the bat, I don't think I'm going to be able to help you. I heard you say maybe I could help you figure out this indictment. I can't help you at all. I can't figure it out for the life of me. So.
Okay, so is this when he was charged with, 34, 35 felonies, it's the same charge. I said to the audience this morning, it's like if I said about my producer, in attempt to cover up a crime, Stu committed a crime, and saying that 35 times and never defining what the crime was.
Boy, that's a pretty great assessment of this charging instrument. I will tell you that. I mean, never saying what the crime was. So, you know, look, there's no legal requirement to do that. They charge, this is a misdemeanor, falsifying business records, which it's not even close to happening. There's no falsifying business records. But even if you wanted to go down that road, it's a misdemeanor. The statute of limitations are long gone on that. You would have to then cobble that together with another crime, which would also be a misdemeanor, to make it a felony. So in other words, to aid and abet or conceal another crime. And of course, it doesn't list what the other crime was. Maybe it's drunk driving or something, who knows. But most likely, it's violation of federal election laws because this was a federal campaign. And if you know anything about federal election laws, and apparently that office doesn't, it's very clear that this is not something that falls under a violation of the Federal Election Commission's laws. It's just not. And that's why they never brought charges against them. You know, that's why this is a personal expenditure, a personal civil suit that was settled, you know, like, you know, when Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones $800,000 for an alleged sexual assault, not like a consensual relationship. That was the same thing, but never was he. You know, charged with a crime. Hillary Clinton apparently, you know, spent $100,000+ on the Steele dossier, right, for her campaign. She used campaign money for that. That campaign used campaign money for that. And you know what they classified as? This is going to be as ironic as anything. Legal expenses, which obviously it wasn't. But so what does the FEC do? She doesn't get indicted like Donald Trump does. She paid a fine of $100,000, you know, her campaign. So it's really, the double standards are so incredibly obvious to anyone with a brain, and the fact that we're here is only because this man is running for president again. It happens to be the leading Republican contender. And because it's Donald J. Trump, that's the only reason.
Okay, so let me just tick off a couple of quick questions here and see if you can help me answer. With campaign finance, is it the FEC passed this down, said there was nothing there. So is it possible that, you know, they're checking the Constitution and Bragg is like, wait a minute, we're the ones that actually run the elections. The state owns it. And so he's coming up with some state campaign violation?
Yeah, it's not a state campaign. But even if he did identify it, say what you're talking about, because we have no idea. We should be left guessing at this point. And here's the bottom line. Regardless of whatever the you know, twisted legal theory is, there is no crime.
Okay.
You know, Donald Trump actually did everything right here. Here's someone who came to him, tried to extort money from him, okay, for a consensual relationship, she claims, although later she said she never had an affair with him, and Donald Trump adamantly denies it, but then said, I need that money or I go to the press. Okay, that's extortion 101. Then he pays that money with personal funds to resolve it. And by the way, he only did that after his lawyer, the convicted fraudster and liar, Michael Cohen, resolved this without President Trump's knowledge at first. He took out a loan, a home equity loan, to finance this civil settlement. And then later billed Donald Trump for it. He's the one who signed the settlement agreement. Donald Trump didn't even sign this agreement with Stormy Daniels.
Okay.
And then later did it. And that's just to appease and get closer to Donald Trump. He wanted to be in the White House in the worst way.
Okay, so let me go to the crime then that they say, the other thing they're throwing around is this a tax crime. And what they're claiming is, understand, you haven't heard that one yet?
Yeah, I've heard about it. Go ahead. Let me hear what they're
from what I understand, they're saying that Donald Trump, I think, overpaid his taxes because he paid attorney's fees to Cohen, and that included the whatever it was, $130,000 or whatever that payoff was.
Paid him in a retainer instead of paying him a reimbursement for the
right.
For the
so he actually paid, you know, payroll taxes or, you know, paid the you know, the taxes that you would pay if you're, you know, if you're paying an employee.
So, Glenn, I know how smart you are, and I'm a big fan of yours. Do you understand how much you stuttered during that?
Oh, no, there's no way to make sense of it. I'm just trying to give. I'm just trying to understand what they're saying.
Right, exactly. It's hard. I know. It's so hard to even articulate it because it's like, what? Let me just say this. He never made a tax filing with those documents that they claim are false because he never took a tax deduction. So, again, we live in seriously, when you talk about selective prosecution, if they're going to actually allege he actually overpaid taxes for someone else, therefore it's a tax crime. A lot of people in this country get charged with crimes for overpaying their taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's another legal theory.
Right.
That's very novel. I mean, it just gets better and better and better. It's really...
Okay.
But, you know, it's a joke.
So this would be a joke if I thought we could get fair trials. But I'm not sure you can get a fair trial in New York. Donald Trump is the worst. He went from the king of New York to the worst, you know, worse than Hitler and Mengele combined to New Yorkers in New York City. Plus, you have a judge that should have recused himself. I mean, the actual information on the judge and his daughter is staggering. Can you get a change of venue or at least a new judge?
Look, here's the thing. We are going to be making ferocious motions in this case. They're going to cover every angle to get this ridiculous case thrown out of court. It doesn't belong in court. We are going to obviously consider whatever legal motions, including recusal, change of venue, if they're appropriate. You know, look,
isn't it appropriate? Don't you think the recusal of the judge? I mean, that's a conflict of interest. Like crazy.
You would think. And these facts came out, you know, yesterday. Apparently, his daughter works for the vice president. But we have to be very methodical in our attacks here. We don't want to do anything with a knee jerk reaction. We don't want to make emotional decisions. And we'll do all the research and everything we need to do. We have obviously several months to make these motions, and we're going to take our time and do them right, because you have one bite at this apple, and there is no scenario where, you know, we're going to miss anything. And any angle that we can take that legitimizes our legal attacks on this case, that I know is going to be successful, because I don't think this case is ever going to see a jury, Glenn. I really don't. It shouldn't see a jury, you know, but we would need to have intellectually honest judges to make sure that happens, and hopeful that we're going to have one here.
I talked to Annie McCarthy yesterday, former prosecutor, yeah. And he said, you always know it's a weak case when you start to repeat the same charges and you just keep stacking them on. He said that's the first thing that you were taught in law school. Don't do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the same charge 34, 35 times? Is this unprecedented or not?
No, it's not really unprecedented, but it is a sign. I agree with Andy. It's a sign of weakness. I mean, there's been several indictments where they stack up charges. I mean, it's one act. It's one scenario. It's right. One, you know, factual scenario that they're alleging is a crime that is not a crime. I understand if Donald Trump, if this were truly a campaign expenditure, okay, Donald Trump would have then had the right to pay with campaign funds, because it would have been a campaign expenditure, right? It's not, and he couldn't have paid with campaign funds. But do you, Glenn, for a second, understand the amount of people that will be baying for Donald Trump's scalp had he paid this personal settlement with campaign funds?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they would be losing their mind. They were saying, that's a fraud. It's not a campaign expense.
Yes.
It's personal. So he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Correct. They pushed the next trial date is January 24, right smack in the middle of the Iowa caucus. Is that unprecedented to wait that long?
That was just a coincidence. That was just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure of it. Well, no, it's not. It should be longer. You know, when you have a case of this complexity and this, you know, this is sort of a case of first impression in many ways. You know, what I will say is this. We have a situation where we have to do motions. We're not back in court till December 4th, so there should be no trial in January. We want the trial date to be pushed off even a little further, because we have to make sure we're touching every base here and fighting on every legal point that we could bring forth to challenge the sufficiency of this indictment. So there's no rush to get to trial here. I'm hopeful that we don't even get to that point. I really am. But no, it's a trial doesn't normally happen within a couple of months. This is a case where we don't even go back to court for our next status conference and decisions on motions until December.
I have to ask you this question, because I've had a very good legal firm for quite some time, and they were the best on freedom of speech issues. And they've dropped me because, you know, they have Google and everybody else. And while they didn't say that, they just said, you know, we've got some other clients and we just have to really. I've been with them for 15 years. I know exactly what was going on. I'm in reading, you know, your history. You're an amazing attorney. But this is. Let me ask this question. Humanitarian of the Year, Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network, Man of the Year Award from New York State Commission for Social Justice. You are positioned in a place where a New York attorney probably should be. You're taking on the enemy, Donald Trump, as your client. Mm-hmm. Are you not concerned? I mean, thank you for being John Adams, but are you not concerned about
that's great.
Flushing your career down the toilet in New York?
No. Listen, I follow my own constitution. My knees don't buckle, Glenn. I do what I think is right. When I took this case, it's because I realized how outrageous it was, and the rule of law is in danger in this country. And for me, if I didn't have the courage to take this case, then I'm good for nothing. If you can't be willing to fight something like this, and listen, it's for that exact reason I'm not in one of those big corporate law firms where, you know, I mean, I know a lot of firms wouldn't touch this because they're worried about the fallout with other clients. What I did was, look, I represent a lot of people who are politically opposite to Donald Trump, right? That being said, I spoke to some of them. I let them know. It's something I believe in. And look, I'm a litigator, and that's what I do. I litigate. Sure. I'm not you know, I'm not his campaign lawyer. I'm not out there, you know, doing things that would be against what I would normally do as a litigator.
Sure.
When I represent someone on the far left, I do the same thing. I litigate. I don't get involved in all the collateral issues. I fight the case and make sure that that justice prevails.
I mean, we used to all agree on the Bill of Rights, and I don't think we do anymore. Yeah.
No, no. And it's amazing that the justice system is now being weaponized the way it is. We have crossed a Rubicon that is going to be forever, forever damaging to this country's administration of justice. And that's what scares the hell out of me. I mean, now, so, you know, okay, it's Donald Trump today. Tomorrow, it's some Democrat in Texas who a Republican prosecutor decides, hey, you know what? I saw what they did in New York. I'm going to use the power of my office, prosecutorial discretion, which is so overwhelmingly powerful. I'll go after him.
Joe, there's there have been crimes committed by Hunter Biden in three different states that are red states. Why wouldn't the district attorney take those on?
Exactly. I mean, and that's the point. When it's a clear political play here, and that's what really, really troubles me. I watched him try and pretend yesterday that this was just something he would do against any single person. We charge people with these crimes all the time. Yeah, you charge people with falsifying business records, which is a misdemeanor. You know, 7 years later, which the statute of limitations would be gone on, and tying it to a federal election campaign violation when you're a state prosecutor that the federal authorities have said there's no violation for. Yeah, all the time you guys do that. Absolutely. Mm. I mean, I hear these disingenuous things. That also charges people with false business record charges all the time. Yeah, false business record charges based on what? I mean, it's so disingenuous, it's not even funny.
Joe, I hope you're right that this will never see a courtroom or a jury. We wish you the best. Pass on our best to Donald Trump. Thank you.
I absolutely will, Glenn. Thank you for having me on.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
You know, I asked Alan Dershowitz about a half hour ago, what is it going to take for people to say enough is enough? I cannot believe more people are not standing up about the pornography that is being spoon-fed our children. The sexual deviancy, the brainwashing, and the mutilation of our children. Gang, that is what we're talking about. Stop using, DIE and all of these newfangled terms. You are teaching sexual craziness. You are teaching pornography and evil. You are teaching mutilation of children's bodies. All of us, Republicans, Democrats, 10 years ago, we were all lockstep against that. No one has made a good case for it. Why aren't we standing up? I want to tell you something that happened in Oklahoma yesterday. Ryan Walters, in fact, I'll have him tell the story. Ryan Walters is the Oklahoma State Superintendent. I've met this guy. I think the world of him and his wife. They are true blue Bill of Rights defenders and defenders of family. And Oklahoma is trying really hard to be Austin, Texas. Oklahoma, you don't want to be Austin. Come to Austin and see. That's your future. You don't want that. Okay, Ryan Walters is here now. Ryan, thank you for being on here. The Oklahoma State Superintendent, you're like the head of the schools, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. Thanks for having me on, Glenn. And I know we got to talk a little bit about this, but yes, sir. You know, I won an election, went to all 77 counties in Oklahoma. It was clear. Parents are concerned about what's being taught to their kids. We got all these examples of books pushing transsexualism on kids, books pushing graphic pornography in the earliest of grades. So in my agency, we passed rules that said, look, you cannot have sexually explicit material in front of kids in classrooms and school libraries. And by the way, if you have conversations with kids about sex, about gender transitioning, you have to tell the parent. And we have, of course, the Democrats are fighting us, but we have some Republican representatives fighting fighting me on the issue. And late yesterday, an opinion from our attorney general came down blocking the enforcement of our rules in the state of Oklahoma. And so I'm going to continue to fight to make sure that this is out of our schools. But I'm telling you, it is amazing to me that we are having folks stand up against common sense, which is our kids should be focused on the basics and not become a social experiment for the most radical leftists.
So let me clarify something that Ryan has said. So he put this in, and if you had pornography in your school library and it was clearly defined, you were going to start pulling funding from these schools, right?
Yes, sir. We were going to pull their accreditation, which then could pull their funding. Yes, sir.
Okay. So you don't put pornography in the library, and it's clearly defined. Okay? Don't do it. When he went, and correct me if I have any of this wrong, because this is what I've heard, and you know, you're too nice to throw people under the bus, but I'm not. From what I understand, you went to the Republicans in the State House, and many of them told you to calm down. Is that right?
Well, we have some that, you know, when they questioned me on whether these materials were actually in schools, I emailed them 50 pages of pornographic material that had been sent to us that are in schools, and I was told they were very offended. Some didn't like the fact that we sent that into their government server. And I said, hey, you know, you think you're offended. Can you imagine the parent or grandparent that brought this, their 6-year-old brought this home from school? Talk about being offended.
Unbelievable. And those are Republicans.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, we've got a teachers union in the state of Oklahoma that has funded some Republican candidates. And yes, they say, hey, you need to calm down. This isn't really going on. Then I show them where it's going on. Well, it's not going on that much. Well, you know, so why don't you just cool it? And I go, guys, parents do not want their kids to be exposed to this material in schools. 15 years ago, you wouldn't have seen anyone defending this. And somehow now we are in a red state and allowing this to happen. This should not happen in any school. I said, if it's happening in one classroom, that's one too many. We have to protect our kids.
Okay. I want you to know, I'm going to talk right directly to Oklahomans here. You do not understand what you're playing with if you haven't gotten involved yet. They are destroying our children. We are, without knowing it, without anybody planning this, we are engaging in ancient evil worship where we sacrifice our children to sex and death. This is Old Testament stuff, and it is evil. And the way it has gotten through is in these red states, Texas is a problem, Utah is a problem, Idaho has this problem, Oklahoma has this problem, red states have this problem. You just think you're fine, but the teachers' unions are so well funded. And if you're in a red state, they'll find those wishy-washy, spineless, boneless Republicans, and they will pour money their way. You need to make it extraordinarily clear in your House, in your Senate, in every single red state. If you are taking money from the teachers' union, you're not on my side. And I'm sorry. I mean, there's lots of unions and lots of different examples of, you know, SEIU is a really bad union. Teachers union, it is the reason that we have these problems. If you are a teacher and you are a member of the teachers union and you don't have to be, but you're voluntarily sending them money, I'm sorry, you're a teacher I don't trust. You're a teacher that I will campaign to get fired, because if you're not logical enough to stop sending your money to a group of people whose agenda is political and to corrupt our children, no sympathy for you. I'm sorry. There are no middle ground. You can't play the middle ground in this. Our children are at stake. So yesterday, he's a Republican, is he not, the attorney general?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want you to call the Attorney General. I'm sorry to have you as a witness of this, Ryan. You have nothing to do with this. I call on you to call the Attorney General's office today. If you're an Oklahoman, and if you believe this, we don't want any kind of pornography or any of this crap in our schools, period. Period. I have been told over and over again from Republicans who constantly are beaten into the ground by the teachers' unions that the reason why they always lose is because the Republicans that do have a chance of a spine don't stand up because they don't feel the people have their backs. So you've got to call all of them and say, hey, you taking any money from the teachers union? Hey, how do you feel about the thing the attorney general did? And then you make it very clear to them, no threats, nothing, nothing. You cannot play that game. You just be very clear. You answer to me. You are a representative of me. Mr. Attorney General, you are to protect and defend the people and the Constitution of Oklahoma. I don't think that this is part of that. Maybe you do and we disagree. But I want you to know I will campaign against you. I will stop giving money to the GOP until you stop allowing this to happen to our children. I'm sorry, Ryan. Anything else to say?
Well, Glenn, I appreciate you and your work. And you know, and this is the reality is that the radical left is trying to turn kids against their family. They're trying to turn kids against this country. And frankly, they're trying to turn kids against their faith. That's where this is all based in. We know it. We've seen it in Marxist theology. That is where the left is headed. If we do not aggressively take them on and get common sense and the values that this country was founded on back in our education system, this will be a country forever lost. And this is the opportunity, and this is, to me, their endgame scenario. They're going to take our kids, turn them against their families, their country, and their faith. I will do all I can in my power to fight against this in the state of Oklahoma. We have to keep our red states in line with our country's values, and they are coming after our kids, and we've got to protect them.
Do not sit down. Do not sit down ever. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Ryan. Oklahoma, you better wake up. You better wake up. And every single red state, you think you're safe, you're not. They are the fox is in the hen house. Let me read something that I just shared with Alan Dershowitz. This is at the time when we had lost every battle in the first 8 months of the American Revolution. Washington hadn't won a damn thing. Our army is just down to a few stragglers. And everybody was excited in the summer. Yeah, let's take on the king. And now no one was around. And Thomas Paine wrote, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he who stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." Britain, it writes, but I would say our schools, our school boards, our justice system, our king in Washington wants to bind us in all cases. And if being bound in that manner is not slavery, then there's not such a thing as slavery upon the earth. Do not shrink from these times. You were born at this time because you have a voice to be offered. You may not think you make a difference, but believe me, by sitting this out, you will make a difference for the other side. May hell come with it, but I will not turn my back on the Bill of Rights and the decency of what men should be. I will not turn my back on our children. Will you join the fight?
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored the bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV. Na, 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 na.